In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Luke 18, I'm going to do the whole parable today. And Jesus spoke a parable to them to this end, that we men ought always to pray and not get discouraged. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto Jesus saying, she came unto the judge saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." He would not. But after a while he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she will weary me. She will, by her pestering me, I've reached the breaking point." Now listen to what it says. "And the Lord said, hear what the unjust says. Shall not God avenge his own, you're his own? Shall not God avenge his own, his elect, which cry day and night unto him? Shall he be long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I tell you he will avenge you speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" The passage before this 18th chapter of St. Luke is the coming of the Lord suddenly. "It was in the days of Noah, it shall be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying wives, they were giving in marriage, until the days of Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they will be eating, and they drank, and they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. So therefore, when the Lord comes, it's going to be quick. And Jesus says, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith in the church? Will he find faith when he comes? Will he find faith when he comes as the judge of the living and the dead? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we are not praying, he will not find faith. If we do not persevere in prayer, he will not find faith. If we are not worshiping God, he will not find faith. If our hearts aren't sold out to him, he will not find faith. That's why the devil tries to discourage you from prayer. That's why the devil tries to discourage me from prayer. He told them a parable that they should pray always and not grow discouraged. Then he tells of this judge, a mean, rotten judge. But the judge will do what the woman says because he's tired of her. Then he compares himself. "I'm not the judge. I'm God. I'm your father. I sent my son Jesus to die for you. Will not I avenge you quickly? But when I come back on the earth," Jesus says, "will I find faith? Will I find faith in the church? Will I find faith in the parish? Will it be a parish that's run by business? Will it be a parish that's run by businessmen? Or will it be a parish that's a faithful parish? That my house will be called a house of prayer, not a den of thieves,
not a place of business. We are not a business place. We are the house of God. We are the house of God. We are the body of Christ. When I come back to the earth, will I find faith? Will the churches that have hundreds and thousands of people, will they be faithful people? Are they coming to get their hands stamped? Are they coming to fulfill an obligation? When I come back to the earth, will I find faith? Will there be faith when I come back to the earth? Well, there won't be any faith if we stop praying. There won't be any faith if we quit. There won't be any faith, I'm going to tell you. Faith shows itself when we're under pressure. Faith shows itself when we're under pressure. When we feel that we cannot make it. Faith shows itself by reaching out to God in the best way that we know how. Crying out that prayer that is the most eloquent prayer. Help. 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 I need you. I can't go on without you. I am desperate for you. Faith. Living faith. Apostolic faith. And when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, will he find faith in our diocese, in your diocese? The way the dioceses run, are they running on a faith model? Are they living by faith? Or are we playing church? I don't know. Everyone has to answer that themselves. How do we run our parish? Are we playing church? Are we living by faith? I'm going to tell you one of the ways you can see you're living by faith is that you give away at least one-tenth. You give away one-tenth of what you get. One-tenth goes. You know, we just finished our year's record for radio, and it's over $374,000 that came in. And $387,000, something like that. But $38,000 went to the poor, plus another $18,000 went to the Ilric. I'm telling you, if you live by faith, then your pocketbook shows it. But not only your pocketbook, you open your heart to people. You open your house to people. You open your lives to people. You open your lives to people. You're not only a Christian on a Sunday. You bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ every day. You pray for the sick every day. Oh, yes, you pray for the sick every day. This week, the church gave us that beautiful reading from 1 Corinthians. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And this has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, what eye hath not seen. That's today. That's today. But for only those who live by faith, only those who live by faith, and when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth. Like, what's the church all about? Is the church just another organization, or is the church a faith-based body of Christ? Are we living by faith, or are we living by raffles? Are we living by faith, or are we living by bingo? Are we living by faith, or are we living by Las Vegas nights? How are we living? How are we living? How are we living? You see, God honors faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, I don't have any big techniques, okay? I haven't hired anyone to give me some techniques to get more money from you, because I feel that if I preach the gospel, people will send me what I need, and that's been true for 27 years by the grace of the living God. And I thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, because you know what? I never could have done this without them, without the gift of the Holy Spirit. I never could have done it. But you see, I don't use any high tactics. I don't call people in. I'm not into a publicity that's going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to
get you to give me money. I figure if I'm touching your heart is going to be touching your purse strings. I need to know that if I continue to preach the word of God and faith is enkindled in your heart, you're going to unloose your purse strings. Because you know what? That's what the Lord does. And for 27 years, we proved that. We have no glitches. We're not tinsley. We don't send out color brochures. I was doing the mail just yesterday. People who haven't sent any notes, and on every postcard I write something. On every postcard I write something. Not much, because there are so many postcards. But you see, it's a personal ministry. Oh, could I get along if I became a businessman? I could. But you want to know what? Would I be pleasing God? Would I be pleasing God? I'm working by faith. I'm believing that what God has done, He has done. And I need to continue to cooperate with what God has done and live by faith. That's what I need to do. And you see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, and He's coming rapidly, He's coming at a time we least expect it. He's coming like a thief in the night. Will He find faith in the church? What will He do when He looks at the different dioceses that are listening to me? St. Louis, Boston, Tucson, Arizona, Phoenix, anyone. What will He do? Will He go in and turn the tables over? Or will He say, well done, good and faithful stewards? What will He do? What will He do? We know what He did in the Jerusalem temple because they weren't living by faith. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You have met into a den of thieves. What will God do? What will Jesus do when He comes into the different chanceries? Will He find faith? Will He find favor? Or will He find business? I'm telling you, we're not into business. I'm not into business. I'm into the saving of souls. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. That's what Jesus said. What are we doing? To seek and save that which is lost. And if you want to find the lost, go out in the street. You'll find the lost. But do you want those kind of people? Jesus did. Do you want those kind of people that have no food and no housing and no clothing? Jesus said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. Are we after those kind of people? I don't think so. You want to know what? They don't give us a good name. Let me just tell you what. I know we're not after those kind of people. Throughout the world, we are going through a great persecution. And always in third world countries, people are dying for the love of Jesus. People are dying for the sake of Jesus. Do you ever hear about it? Do you ever hear about it? That people are giving their lives. Just a few weeks ago in Nigeria, a whole busload of Catholics died by terrorists. Do you hear about it? Do you hear about the Chinese priests that are in jail, they've been storehoused? Do you hear about it? Do you hear about what's happening? Really what's happening in the Middle Eastern countries? Do you hear about what's really happening to Christians? You don't hear about it. You want to know why? They have no money. They have no money. They're poor. They're broken. Do we stand up for human rights? Only if they have money. Only if they have money. Who are we going to target? We're going to target the middle class. We're going to target, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. Now, I'm not saying that the middle class isn't lost. That's not what I'm saying. But when they come to us, what are we going to give them? More of the same? Or are we going to present them with the cross of Jesus Christ? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when people come to us and we get people to come, will we present them more religious gobbledygook? Or will we present the cross of Jesus Christ? He who gave His life for us. He who bore our sins and our sicknesses. He who died so that we might live and have a new life. He who said, unless you be born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. What do we present with people? Do we present a religious message? Or do we present a Christian message?
a message that it's time to give our lives to Jesus Christ. The church has been involved in pre-evangelization for about 50 years. And you want to know what? It's kind of pathetic. We don't even know how to evangelize. I wonder if I had 100 priests, if I asked them, if I were a pagan, how would you evangelize me? I bet 97 of them would say, I'd take you to church. And once I went to church, would I be evangelized? I don't think so. We're going to start off with a joke today. Yeah. That's because we think the whole thing is a joke anyway. Yesterday, the Bible presented hell, the fires of Gehenna. I wonder how many preachers talked about the reality of hell yesterday. I wonder how many preachers talked about the reality that there is a hell. I did. That was one of the things I said. And I said, no one ever need go to hell in this place if you give your life to Jesus Christ. No one need to go to the fires of Gehenna if you give your life to Jesus Christ. Hell is a possibility for those who want to live for themselves and who do not live by faith. I wonder how many people spoke about hell yesterday. Oh, yes, forgiveness is true. That was part of the reading, too. But whoever talks about hell? St. Ignatius did. Oh, yes, in the retreat, he always talks about heaven, hell, and purgatory. You make a choice. Who do you want to live under, the banner of the meek Lamb of God or the arrogant, satanic, evil one? St. Ignatius gives the retreatants that choice. Who talks about hell? Now, I don't talk about it every week, but when the readings state hell, you've got to tell people it's a possibility, but no one need ever go there if you surrender your life to Jesus. He gave his life for you. He bled for you. He died for you. He rose for you. And he's got for you that which eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. He's revealed that through the Spirit. You know why we don't see what eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard? Because we have no idea of the Holy Spirit. We have no idea of the action of the Holy Spirit. We have no idea of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is revealed now through the Holy Spirit. You know, when I was a child, I instinctively knew that God healed the sick. And you know, in my own little way, I thought that if I went to Lourdes, that's where I would find healing. But as I grew up, I began to think, you know, God is the same here as he is in Lourdes. God is the same here as he is in Fatima. God is the same here as he is in Medjugorje. God is the same here. He just needs a degree of faith. He needs a degree of faith. So we had little Maggie who had cystic fibrosis, and the mother doesn't go to church. They called Ron and Barbara, their uncle and aunt, and they prayed, and they called me, and I prayed with the mother. And I got a beautiful picture of Maggie. She doesn't have cystic fibrosis. Completely healed by the power of God. And this baby Antonio that Eleanor and I prayed with, Jesus Christ, that child would walk again, that child would talk completely in the name of Jesus. They wanted to pull the life supports out of him. Yes. Then the man who came to us, who was having a big operation because there was a bone missing in his head, and when he went to have the operation, the bone was present. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, God knows how to do these things. Then the person in Arizona who had cancer when we came last time, and he was dying, fourth-stage cancer, and he's still pumping around in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Then the people who write to me. Father Tom, I was someone in Arizona. I was going to kill myself, and you spoke on the radio. I'm not even a Catholic. I never thought a Catholic could ever have anything. But you saved my life because you said God was stripping me because he was looking for repentance. And when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in you? when he comes back again, will he find faith in the church? Will he find faith in me? At least we can be responsible for ourselves. He'll find faith in us if we stay around faithful people. We need to be around faithful people. We need to be around people who believe, people who are going to believe even when we can't believe, because faith is caught. It can't be taught. You've got to be around people who've got faith, more faith than you, who are going to believe. When my Aunt May was sick, she was around a prayer group that believed that she was going to get better, and she became a prayer warrior. At one time, she didn't know her name. She was so depressed, but she became a prayer warrior. Why? Because she was around people who believed in Jesus, who walked her up to the communion rail, who had her receive Holy Communion, who prayed with her, and she became a prayer warrior. Why? Because she was around people who believed. Where are those people in the church that believe? Where are those people in the church that believe what God wants to do that I have not seen, ear hath not heard? Neither has it entered the heart of man or woman what God has prepared for those who love him. Where are those people? Is the church just another organization? Or is the church a house of prayer? My house shall be called a house of prayer. Today at 1 o'clock, people are going to be worshiping the Lord at the Holy Rosary. At 1 o'clock. Tonight, there'll be a 7:30 Mass, followed by adoration. I do want to tell you, we pray in our little church. We don't have raffles. We don't have cake sales. We don't have Las Vegas nights. We don't have bingo. And people say, how do you keep your head above water? Because I'm not running the church. I know someone that is. His name is Jesus. And if I do what I need to do, he will do what he will do. I tell you, my friends, I don't have to save the church. I have a king who's bled for us. I have a Lord who was crucified for you and me. I have a Redeemer who bought me with his own precious blood. I need to preach. I need to pray with people. I need to listen to people. I need to pray with people. I don't have to save the church. But I'll tell you, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith at the Holy Rosary? That's a big question. Will he find faith in Father Tom? Will he find faith in you only if we persevere in prayer and not get discouraged? Only if we're around people who have more faith than us. Believing for those things that are not as if they are. Because it is from heaven that we lasso those things. We had a woman the other night, pain in her foot for over 2 years, healed. She said, I don't believe it. Simple prayer. Healed. Healed. And her sister, her heart was beating 140 beats a minute. It went down 36 beats. And we prayed for 4 or 5 people with cancer. We anointed them with the sacrament of the sick, believing God, healing them. Had all the congregation pray. You see, we don't do very many things that are avant-garde at Holy Rosary. We have no buses going to Foxwood. You know, we don't do things like that. We don't go gambling. We don't do things like that. You know, we don't run high-stake raffles. We don't do stuff like that. We just do the best we can. We just do the best we can. That's all we do. We try to support the broken, the needy, and the poor. That's what we do. We try to have a place of hospitality. That's what we do. Oh, we're not great, I tell you. We're not great, but you know what? God is present there. Because where faith is, God is. And it's all about grace. Oh, that wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. That wonderful grace that you need and I need, being poured from the cross of Calvary right now, to give you perseverance to pray, so that when the Lord comes, he will find faith in you. That wonderful grace to persevere, even when it's difficult, even when you want to quit. Lord, give that grace to your people. Give it to me. Give it to us. Because you purchased that grace on the cross. I do need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You know what? Keep praying. And when you pray, remember me, because I want to continue to do what I'm doing with great fervor, and I need your prayers. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.